the introduction. So I just graduated from JSI. Actually, I finished my Master's of Arts in Diplomacy, Law and Business. And it is great to be back for something that JSI is doing. And I think the podcast is a great platform that the social media team has created to talk about topics that really impact the student life. So what are we talking about today, Kamakshi?
Well, firstly, thank you, Athar, for being a part of this. And today we'll be talking about something that may be a bit controversial but needs to be talked about. We're talking about the rise of cyber sexual harassment and how and the relation of sexual harassment with human rights. Before we go ahead, I would like to mention that there will be mentions about sexual assault and sexual harassment to the audience. So if any of you, if this may trigger any of you, we request you not to listen beyond this point. So, yeah, so let's start with our podcast. So basically, Athar, before we go further, we should at least set the record straight of what exactly constitutes of sexual harassment. Would you mind explaining?
Right. So, you know, sexual harassment includes any unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical harassment, which is of a sexual nature in either the workplace or the learning environment. And sexual harassment does not always have to be specifically about sexual behavior, or does not have to be directed to a specific person. For example, negative comments about women in a group or even men in a group may be of a sexual form. And sexual harassment could also include gender-based violence. But we've had a discussion about how sexual harassment is actually different from sexual assault. So why don't you take that?
Yeah, so what people don't understand is that sexual harassment and sexual assault constitute of two different things. While they may overlap on certain aspects, as you mentioned about sexual harassment, what sexual assault includes is the use of force, coercion, or any imbalance of power to make a person do anything in a sexual nature without their consent, and can also be categorized as sexual abuse at times. And this can only not be just male to female. It can be female to female, male to male, or female to male as well, which people at times fail to comprehend. And yeah, so basically, so before, and I think we should also mention once why we are doing such a thing and like what are our credentials basically. So
this topic I understand is of a very sensitive nature, and people wouldn't want anybody or any person talking about such a topic to them. And it becomes necessary to, mention why we have a sense of legitimacy in talking about this. So me and Kamakshi have been the elected student representatives of the COXSASH, which is the Committee on Gender Sensitization Against Sexual Harassment, which is the anti-sexual harassment cell that is present in the Open Jindal Global University. And we were the elected representatives for the year 2019-2020. And we've had a certain amount of training and all on-field experience in identifying and handling cases, along with the help of the committee, and taking up the cases and complaints of the complainants through the entire democratic process that follows. And I think, sexual harassment committees play a very, very important role in the university. So would you like to tell our listeners about
it? Yeah, actually, it's very important that every university or workplace, or especially universities, since most of us are still learning, they should have anti-sexual harassment cells, or as OP Jindal University has its own COXSASH, because it's important for the reason of having for its role of sensitization and creating an interface between the administration and the students, basically creating a safe space for the students and even for the workers over there, maybe the professors, the students, the helpers, the didis or bhais, the staff people basically, and where they can come and get justice. And it's important that every independent organization, these are basically independent organizations within the university, and all of them go in accordance to the UGC guidelines and also in accordance to the Vishakha guidelines, which were a set of procedural guidelines for use in India in case of sexual harassment. They were promulgated by the Indian Supreme Court in 1997 and were superseded in 2013 by the Sexual Harassment of Women at Workplaces, which talks about the Prevention, Prohibition and the Redressal Act of 2013. And the Supreme Court, in the case of Vishakha versus the state of Rajasthan, had laid down for the first time structures that a woman employee by giving her right to a safe and healthy working environment. And I think this would then ended up extended towards the students as well, which all the ASHCs and the COGSASH in our university had adopted to help the students that way, especially the female students, as in majority of the cases, they're the ones who are subject to acts of sexual harassment. And when it came to the Vishakha guidelines, in the decision, the court also defined sexual harassment and recognized it to be a paramount violation of human rights. And the court hereby laid down certain mandatory and binding guidelines to be followed by all workplaces belonging to the public and private sectors, and make it imperative for every employer to ensure a safe, harassment-free working environment for the women. And these structures can be applied to education institutions as well, like I mentioned before. So before we go on, we should also at least describe what exactly online sexual harassment is, don't you think, Athar?
So, yes. So, Kamakshi, before we move on to the online nature of sexual harassment, I think it is very important to also mention here that the sexual harassment committees that are constituted in a university and in workplaces only mm-hmm. deal with acts of sexual harassment and not sexual assault. Yes. Because sexual assault is something that is dealt with by the police. It is an act of criminal violence, an act of crime, whereas sexual harassment at a workplace is dealt by committees like this. So, like you were saying, I think we should address online sexual harassment as well, because due to the pandemic, things have increasingly shifted to being online, and from online classes, online meetings, online dates, everyone is heavily relying on the internet. Yeah. And in such times, sexual harassment has also changed its form. And has, encompassed a wide range of behaviors that use digital content like images, videos, posts, messages, pages, and even emails that ask for, ransom against protection of sexual identity on mm-hmm. a variety of different platforms, public and private. And this sort of a behavior can make a person feel threatened, exploited, coerced, humiliated, upset, and discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And these cases are actually on a rise because of the changing nature of workplaces and universities alike. And would you like to talk about the rise of cases during the pandemic, Kamakshi?
Yeah, there has been a significant amount of rise. If you see any statistics or any article regarding sexual harassment, they thought that if you're shifting online, the cases of sexual harassment would be toned down a bit, considering the fact that because they won't be face to face. However, there has been a significant amount of rise. People are using means of social media or social media platforms like WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook to send out threats or unsolicited messages to their co-workers. And while they predicted that, and hence there has been a rise, and also people are also report these cases at times due to the fact that they believe that because they're not technically in a workplace setting, they should not report it because they're not technically sitting alongside with the co-workers or being subjected to such verbal assaults. So, but there's also certain facets that there's an increase in complaints related to sex-based discrimination as well. And then there's some supervisors have actually told women told the women colleagues that they should quit and attend to their real jobs of attending to household chores or childcare. And this just shows how sexual harassment is not just verbal or physical or any other form of physical violence or physical harassment. It can also be the outcome of discriminatory or privileged behavior, and they actually and pertains to a patriarchal mindset as well. And there are also cases regarding quid pro quo. Athar, do you want to explain what exactly that is before we go on even further?
Right. So, like you said, it has become extremely necessary to talk about sexual harassment, especially in the case of everything shifting online. And quid pro quo has always been in picture, and it has seen a rise in this time of the pandemic. Quid pro quo is basically giving something in exchange of something else. So, like I mentioned earlier, there are emails that pressurize you to give in to something or to pay money in return of not leaking your allegedly sexual pictures online. There have been rising cases in student-to-student context where this kind of exchange does exist, and this is not just in the form of an online quid pro quo harassment, but it also happens offline in a university setting, and which makes it even more important to address. And something that has also been on a rise, especially in the times of the pandemic, which we might refer to as the new age cyber sexual harassment, is cyber flashing. So, would you like to talk about cyber flashing, Kamakshi?
Yeah, actually, this is one thing that I found very interesting. When it came to actually when doing researching on this, also found this to be very interesting. How this is considered to be a new age cybersexual harassment problem, as you had mentioned, and basically what this can what under this what basically comes under this is that is the unintentionally if when. An individual intentionally sends unsolicited media which may consider of obscene pictures and is, or obscene comments, and this is basically what is referred to as cyber flashing. And as I mentioned, they include pictures which may invoke feelings of repulsiveness in the minds of the receiver. And most of the time, unfortunately, these are the people who receive these are females. And this has forced many countries, thankfully, to strengthen their sexual harassment laws, especially with the onset of the pandemic. So there were countries such as Singapore, Scotland, and even the state of Texas in the United States, which have strengthened their cyber sexual harassment laws and has put in more stringent and more stricter laws that will result in more stringent punishments for the for the individual who's sending these unsolicited messages or pictures to and give the just give the receiver some form of justice. As we have mentioned, this is a violation of basic human rights, basic women's human rights. But when we actually think about the Indian context, India hasn't made such a huge change when it comes to cyber sexual harassment, as in this can lead to serious repercussions if India does not borrow some of these ideas from Singapore or Scotland, or take some form of lessons and changes laws accordingly. Because the main reason why this happens is that when it comes to sexual harassment, cyber sexual harassment, basically it comes at a very gray area. It can come under it. People don't know where to place it. It can come under either cyber laws, or it can come under either under women's laws or sexual harassment laws. And because it's happening online, there's always a problem which where in which a category should it go in, and hence the justice that needs to be delivered as quick as possible is not delivered. And
Right,
yeah.
right.
So when and if you go further if you go further beyond if you go even further, we should talk about, as we mentioned, as I had mentioned before, we should talk about of sexual harassment, because there are certain countries in the world which consider it not as an illegal activity as something that's against the law, but actually a violation of human rights. Would you like to describe more about that, Athar?
Right. So, Kamakshi, like you said, I mean, it has grown to be a very important area that has to be covered, and it does have an impact on the human rights of a person who is subjected to such form of sexual violence. And in many countries like India and the US classify sexual harassment as illegal, but there are countries like New Zealand, like you rightly mentioned, which classifies such type of an activity as a violation of human rights. And it actually separates it from gender domination discourse, however, by classifying it as a part of human rights discourse, and it enhances the dignity of humans and offers a greater amount of protection from the employer or any form of authoritative figure that the respondent, in the form of a respondent that the complainant is, subjected to. And women's advocates around the world work to further women's rights to be free from sexual harassment and online sexual harassment as well. And what is critical, I think, to these efforts to combat sexual harassment has been the growing recognition of harassment as a form of violence against women, which violates human rights. And I think states all around the world are obligated under the international law to take effective steps to stop women from violence and to hold harassers and all your employers accountable for sexual harassment in the workplace. And I think it is, given the situation of the pandemic and how everything has changed around us, I think it is high time that countries all around the world do recognize the impact and the influence that such forms of acts or such forms of sexual violence through use of internet has been on the rise, and necessary steps need to be taken. But in order to actually take these necessary steps, it is very important to understand why this has been happening in the first place and what is the root cause behind it. Would you like to address that, Kamakshi?
Yes, thank you so much. So I mainly what I believe, and also according to a lot of research that I have read upon in the past, is due to the social inequality that exists between men and women, because most of these workplaces or even in the student education setting also, men are placed at a higher position, especially in workplaces. Most of the higher power jobs are held by men. And even in the student setting also, there's a lot of, due to the years of patriarchy that has been embedded in our minds, especially in the Indian setting, I think that it just gives rise to, just pushes and gives rise to the social inequality that exists. And this leads to, like I mentioned, a sort of a power imbalance where men believe that they can exercise, that they have a right because they are in that position of power. Nobody can touch them. Nobody can do anything with them. And people will be afraid because either their jobs will go, the jobs will go for a toss, or maybe when it comes to the student setting, they may, it's another instance of quid pro quo over here, where they believe that if they don't give in to whatever the male is demanding, whatever the female is demanding, whoever's at power over here, if they don't give in to what they're asking, maybe unsolicited pictures or anything that may have a sexual nature to it, they may not end up getting the help, or may not end up getting the promotion. And even though they may say yes to it, they may consent to it in a way, but they're doing it forcefully at the risk of losing their dignity, which I think needs to be addressed right now, needs to be addressed today. And what most people fail to understand is that these offenders who ask for such favors, let's call such sexual favors, they are known to the victim, and they use a lot of manipulation in order to get what they want. And because the person who is the subject of such manipulation, they're either in some desperate need, or they need some help, or they just don't know what to do, they may end up doing it, and it may just give rise to this social inequality and power imbalance that there exists. And also, what I also believe is that all these pages that we see on Facebook, on Instagram, and even many of these WhatsApp groups that there exist on the internet, they have a certain culture to it that promotes these sexual harassment or the sexual assault culture, which is definitely not right. It can't, and even though the pages that are the any other pages, movements that are voicing their concerns and voicing their opinions against such pages, such this culture that promotes sexual harassment, sexual violence, which leads to sexual harassment in the workplace, it's not making, even though it's making an impact, it may not be so huge due to the fact that this culture itself is so huge and the movement is still starting up, because people are finally recognizing its importance and what it can lead to, what can the repercussions can be on human psyche, on the woman, on the female itself. Because by the end of the day, since we're living in a patriarchal society, the man won't be blamed, unfortunately. In most of the cases, the man won't be blamed, the women will be blamed. And that's what leads to victim blaming. And that's also the reason why they may not even come forward with the cases saying that, okay, I was sexually harassed, my basic human rights were violated, but I won't come because I don't know what to do. My image will go for a toss, while the man's image won't go. It will actually be praised amongst his close circle. And there are also other reasons which why victims don't come forward. And I think that needs to be addressed, don't you think, Athar? Like, what do you think should be addressed, right, when it comes to why victims don't come forward?
Right. So I think this is a very important concern that has to be addressed. And with respect to why victims don't come forward with it are, as basic as privacy concerns, because right, like you rightly mentioned, talking about having faced a form of harassment or sexual harassment in particular might, have an effect on the person's privacy and the person's dignity, as you rightly mentioned. And I think what is also important to mention in this form of discussion is something that we've closely observed in the university setting during our term as the elected student representatives was intimate partner violence. And that has been on the rise, especially in settings like the university. And intimate partner violence is basically when two people are in a relationship and when one person asks for sexual favors that the other person is not very comfortable in spite of being in a relationship. And flagging out these forms of intimate partner violence and such instances becomes even more difficult because you are in a relationship with the person and you do not have the requisite, the source or the medium to voice these forms of concerns. And I think cells like the anti-sexual harassment committees in universities and in organizations alike have a very important role to play in addressing these forms of concerns as well. And since we've been talking about women being at the the side of the victims when it comes to sexual harassment, there is also something that needs to be addressed here is sexual harassment against men, because that is not something that is actively spoken about in a lot of discourses around the world, because it is always assumed that due to the patriarchal system, due to patriarchal structure of the society, especially in India, men are not allowed to be weak. And when a man comes forward and voices that he has been sexually harassed, it is, looked at from a very negative lens. So that is also something that has to be brought into conversation, that sexual harassment can also be, subjected against men, and it is not just the women who are subjected to it.
Yes.
So that is also something that I feel is very important. And since we've spoken about all of this that has been happening online and offline, there must be some solutions to it. I am sure there are solutions to it. What do you think about that, Kamakshi?
There are definitely a few solutions to it, and many organizations are actually adopting these solutions, and they have made a significant impact as well. But if more organizations adopt these solutions or some other methods that can stop this, it will of course make a more significant change that is really needed right now. So certain solutions that have been adopted are creating safe spaces both online and offline. So a safe space is basically it can be a person, it can be a room, it can be anything where a person who is a victim of sexual harassment, they can come and you can approach somebody who can guide them, who can actually just sit and listen to them firstly, saying that and not blame them, A, that it is not their fault, because in most of the cases, be the female or be it the male, like you had rightly mentioned, Athar, as
Right.
men are also subject to sexual harassment, they can come and they can tell them that it's not their fault, because in almost all cases, it is never the victim's fault. It is never the victim's fault in like 98% of the cases. And it made online, and where they can also guide the person through the exact steps of what is what whether or not they have been A, subject to sexual harassment or not, listen to them, make sure they're all right, and also guide them through the right processes of proceed what actions they wish to take, and tell them they always have different options, be it the legal option, be it a more psychological option, or be it that they wish to take. The people need to know about their rights, basically, and even offline similarly, a person needs to if any person is subject to sexual harassment offline, that is in the real world, they need to know that they can approach the legal aspect, they approach psychologists, they can approach people like us, like the student elected representatives, or maybe the HR department in their university or anywhere in their workplace, they can approach people who they have confidence in, and they will be there with them through every step of the procedures through, and helping them and make sure that they are all right. And there also needs to be more active conversations and workshops, training sessions to both the professors, to the bosses, the CEOs, to the students, to the workers, employers, employees, everybody. They need to have proper workshops and training sessions of what exactly sexual harassment, procedures need to be taken if you are subject to sexual harassment, and how you recognize it, basically. That needs to be done. And also, if you look at the legal aspect as well, India needs to strengthen its laws when it comes to sexual harassment, and especially when it comes to cyber sexual harassment, as we had talked about before. And when we talk about the workplace university setting, I think that is when the anti-sexual harassment cell comes, and they can help the victims through the right procedures. And they can actually train the students and they can train them to recognize what exactly sexual harassment is and how to recognize it. And if it happens to you, especially, like, they can also be instances of gaslighting, they can be intimate violence, as you had mentioned. Talk about that, normalize talking about that, especially not in a private but in a public as well. And they should understand that it is not the victim's fault, and they should, but also at the same time, they should understand they should not take advantage of such a sensitive topic. And
sorry to cut you off here, Kamakshi, but I think mentioning this at this juncture is important, like you mentioned about creating a safe space, mm-hmm. both online and offline. I would like to put this forward for our listeners that the OP General Global University actually did come up and comes up with a safe space initiatives every year during both of its annual fests, where a designated classroom is assigned during all the days of the fests, which is called a safe space, and people feeling uncomfortable during the period or the duration of the event, because as you know, college events can get very overwhelming at times. There is a lot of crowd, there's a lot happening, and people need some place to be themselves, to come and sit, to, or also in cases of sexual harassment, if anything happens around the campus during such an event, a safe space, a physical safe space, is actually a very important idea that should be promoted in all forms of workplaces, in all forms of study areas in the university. Mm-hmm. And this is something, I would like to really acknowledge the efforts that the university has been taking in this regard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry to cut you off. I just thought this point was important at this juncture.
Yeah, actually, it is very important. And thank you so much for mentioning it, because even people should know, people who are currently studying in the university or who may end up studying in the university in the coming semester, they should know that they are never alone. And even if they are subject to sexual harassment, they can always come and approach people like the student elected representatives who are always sitting in the safe space, especially during fest. Otherwise, if I'm not wrong, all the student representatives numbers are pasted all around the university. If anybody do it, they can call one of us or text one of us, and all of us and most of us are usually they usually respond instantly when it comes to such cases. If I'm not wrong, isn't that right?
Right. Absolutely. And I think such initiatives also go a long way in, I think, shifting a cultural attitude towards sexual harassment, because these mm-hmm. steps that are taken over a period of time, over the years, I think really facilitate an active dialogue about instances and topics like sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in a sense, create a shared sense of public responsibility and accountability, because in a university setting, I think it is extremely important to talk about this and to keep this in active conversation, so that people are aware that there are facilities and there are institutional mechanisms available to raise your concerns, and that there's nothing to be worried about, or there's nothing to be shy about when it comes to instances of sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And I think that we have covered almost everything that we had to cover. Is if there isn't anything that we is there?
No, I don't think so. I think this has been a great initiative, and I was very happy to be a part of it. So just to run through what we've discussed so that we do not miss out any point. So we broadly spoke about what sexual harassment is and how it is different from sexual assault. We spoke about the importance of sexual harassment committees and such cells in an organization. We extensively spoke about cyberbullying and online forms of sexual harassment, and finally solutions to broadly create a cultural shift in how we view sexual harassment and other related instances. So any closing thoughts, Kamakshi?
I just one of my closing thoughts is that people really need to normalize talking about sexual harassment in a normal public setting because there's such a taboo related to sexual harassment and to anything to sexual harassment basically, especially in the universities when we are supposed to be so progressive in our thinking, we are still such a taboo. Years of being told that we shouldn't talk about such things, or due to years of patriarchy and due to such power imbalances, we feel that we are the ones, ones who are at fault here. It's us who are at fault, and we need to normalize talking about this so that people can understand that this is something wrong and this can never be normalized, and people need to start voicing their opinions on this. So that is one of my
Right.
basic closing thoughts when it comes to this.
Great, great. So I think Amakshi, this has been great, and I'm really thankful to the JSI social media team for giving us the opportunity to actually talk about it and talk about such an important aspect that has a great impact on student life, especially in a residential university like ours, where students leave their homes and are together in a closed space, and talking about these matters becomes even more important. So yes, it is important to talk about this in a workplace setting, but even more so in case of the university, where there could also be people who've just turned 18 or also minors in some cases. Talking about this becomes extremely important.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Thank you so much, Athar, for being a part of this. This has We have covered almost everything that was important when it comes to harassment, especially right with the pandemic. And thank you for being a part of this. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you, Kamakshi. Thank you for having
Thank
me.
you.